at 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. There's a lot of red and green in New Orleans right now, and it's not about Christmas. Eagles and Kansas City fans have descended on the city ahead of tomorrow's Super Bowl, but there are big security concerns. CBS's Omar Villafranca is in the thick of it all.
The city of New Orleans is already playing defense ahead of tomorrow's big game. Super Bowl festivities at the Superdome and in the French Quarter are buried behind bollards and barriers. On Bourbon Street, fans will see armed National Guard soldiers next to more than 200 state troopers patrolling the area.
Court setbacks for the Trump administration. A federal judge has blocked it from putting thousands of USAID workers on leave, and a different judge has stopped Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from accessing sensitive Treasury records, including personal data for millions. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
A federal judge has temporarily stopped Elon Musk and the whole DOGE operation from accessing Treasury Department payments and data systems, saying that there could be irreparable harm by him getting that information. Not only has he stopped access, but the judge has said that Elon Musk and his operation should destroy any of the information that they've already downloaded from the Treasury Department records.
A new batch of winter weather is headed for parts of the nation. New England has already gotten as much as 5 inches of snow. Bob Orbeck at the National Weather Center.
The weather is definitely calmer across New England, but it's going to be going downhill pretty quickly tonight as the storm system pushes rapidly eastward and it has the potential for additional heavy snow.
Now to the West Bank, where Palestinians chanted as some of their friends and relatives were released by Israel. It's the fifth exchange of that ceasefire deal, and CBS's Chris Lipsey reports on reaction from Israel as three hostages were freed by Hamas.
In Israel, tears of joy for those men finally coming home, their family and friends weeping amid visible concern at their physical condition. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that won't go unaddressed.
Another plane crash, this time in Brazil, kills two as it plummets onto a busy street in one of the world's biggest cities. CBS's Michelle Miller.
The plane narrowly missed a long line of cars waiting at an intersection. Part of the plane hit a bus. Four people on the ground or also hurt.
A missing plane in Alaska has been found, and the Coast Guard says all 10 passengers aboard it were killed. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Advocates are hopeful Wisconsin's new Office of Violence Prevention will make a difference, but could its funding be in jeopardy? Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Reggie Moore heads community safety at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He formerly led Milwaukee's violence prevention office during a critical period following a 70% increase in homicides in 2015.
The fact that cities are getting smarter on crime and the impact that these types of interventions can have in addressing violence before it happens, I think is something that people understand that we should be doing.
He says that starts with a public health approach to preventing gun violence. It's that approach, he adds, that contributed to Milwaukee's 4-year decline in homicides and non-fatal shootings beginning in 2016, one of the biggest declines in the country at the time. While violence prevention offices are not new, larger investments in them are. Moore says in 2016, when he started leading the Milwaukee office, few existed.
For hundreds of years, the country has taken a criminal justice approach solely to this issue, but understanding the fact that this is also a public health crisis and hearing the governor declare this the year of the kid, I think is timely given the fact that since 2020, gun violence has become the leading cause of death of children.
Governor Evers announced he's directing $10 million to the Office of Violence Prevention. The funds are from the American Rescue Plan Act and will provide grants to school districts, law enforcement agencies, and nonprofits to help reduce gun violence. It's still unclear whether the Trump administration will impact federal funds for programs like these. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Additional accumulation of snow today, maybe another 4 or 5 inches. We'll see a high near 24 degrees. For tonight, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 1. For Sunday, sunshine with a high near 16. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 18.
Right now, it's 19.
Pat Kreitlow.
Pat Kreitlow is off this week, so get used to some Bach in the Dock. Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Monday through Thursday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the Kripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. We are powered by Everlight Solar, and here's this week's episode. Folks, welcome to the Kripescast Billy Deuce edition. For those of you who watch my videos, you know that Bill Doucette is my good friend and buddy, and we've collaborated on a bunch of videos. Most recently, we did the price of eggs. Bill, I got to say, you play a very convincing drug dealer.
Thank you.
And also, folks, before I get into it here with Billy Deuce, I am on tour. I will see you. I got shows coming up in Seattle on 3-6, Portland 3-7, Eugene 3-8, 321, St. Louis, Cedar Rapids 322, Omaha 323, Charlotte 328, Tysons, Virginia 330, Knoxville 410, Jacksonville 412. Leroy Butler is going to be at that Jacksonville show. So we'll see you guys on the road.
And I'll be on the Pacific Northwest dates.
Yes, you will.
So looking forward to that.
Come see us there, ladies and gents.
I was never a drug dealer, but I definitely have a lot of experience from the other side of it.
Were a drug purchaser?
Yeah, I was a patron. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
There's been some drug buying.
Okay.
So that gave me an insight on the dealing.
Yeah, you're going right off. I wanted to have a nice, fun conversation about eggs, and you went right to your drug use.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Were you a little pothead in high school?
Definitely. And you and I are of the generation when, you know, we remember everybody had bought into like the DARE thing. And so pot was like a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to get it from, you know, Steve's older brother, and you paid a lot for a little. And now you can just go to the store.
Now you can just go. Well, you can go to the Illinois store.
You can go to Illinois. That's
or right. Iowa.
Or Iowa.
Or Minnesota.
Basically, every state that surrounds Wisconsin.
We are the island of no fun.
There's like, I could imagine the Wisconsin government passing that. And they're like, okay, and do we still want all our money for that to leave the state this year? Okay, great. Right. Old fashioned thinking. Old men making decisions. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yep, that's how we do it here. It's been legal in Boston a while.
It has. Yeah, Boston like probably legalized it like I think the year we first legalized it was like 2016. And then because it's a thing being implemented by potheads and the government, the rollout was horrendous.
Yeah. Can't combine two more questionable groups to launch something like that.
It took forever. And there were like two stores at first. But now now they're everywhere.
They figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
We grew up, for those who don't know, we met each other in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill has always been a musician since I known him. Bill, I got to tell you, I still remember this song that you did in high school. It's called The Rock and Roll Afterlife, I think.
Mm, yes.
Can you play that for the folks?
Sure.
Do you mind?
Yeah. I remember being in the back of your car.
That would have been my 1985 Buick.
Okay.
I think.
Sounds about right.
It had those nice plush seats, you know, and it had the top of the car. It was all like pinned up. you know, because it got hot. It would get hot in those Buicks, and then the glue that held the felt to the top would start like coming down on you, so you had to tack it up.
Maybe the fumes from the melting glue were actually part of the inspiration of this song. But in the back of your car, and there were a bunch of other dudes in the car, but you were just like loving this song.
I did. I loved it.
I'll play it for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Copyright Bill Doucette, 2003. Tommy took a pencil and his guitar, grabbed a notebook, said, I'm gonna be a star. He's got too much dreaming on the mind. Time moves faster than a bullet train, reminiscing about better days. Where were you come the harder times? Well, time grew old and Tom grew up, had a family of five and a pickup truck. Whatever happened to his rock and roll? He said, I remember six strings lighting up and listening, talking about the days to come. I said, Tommy boy, I don't ever want to be that someone. You've got broken dreams and memories, falsitudes and member fees, reminders of the things you lost. Is a family man persona really worth the cost? And I'll see you when dark is light. Yeah, I'll see you where the harmonies are always right. And I'll see you when the sound guy says goodnight. Yeah, I'll see you in the rock and roll afterlife.
Just like I remember it, Bill. What a tune, huh?
Yeah, and then he kills himself at the end. Writing songs about suicide in the back of Charlie's car at 16 years old.
Oh, man, it's wild. The things that you write as kind of a teenager, seems like you lived a lot of life by the time you were 16 there, Bill.
Yeah, it's like I think, there's a lot of, like I was saying, you look back at songs you wrote at a young age and they were a bit ambitious or a little bit almost pretentious in that you haven't had those life experiences. And a lot of people sort of discount the opinions of young people because we haven't had those experiences, but we're awake to them and we see them and we see other people's. So a lot of times I look back at songs I wrote at a young age and I'm sort of impressed with, there was a little wisdom in there.
Mm-hmm.
That particular song is, God, probably, how old am I? It's probably 20 something years old,
That's wild, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you, did you think that at that point, it feels like, what's that one song, about they have a band like Tony got married.
Yes. It is derivative of a lot of things. And then I would hear songs and yeah. Got my first real six string.
Yeah.
Bought it at the five and ten. Yeah, it's like that, or it's a little bit like little one guitar. Dun, 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 dun. It was a sold out show.
Oh yeah.
Bought himself a six string. He could play real good. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And then so you kind of played music for a while. You went being like a music engineer, right? You do some of that stuff.
Yep, I do recording, engineering, recording studio stuff. That's kind of what I was doing, making my living doing that and producing and all that before.
Still does it. Billy Deuce got a studio right here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
If you need any recording done, hit him up.
Yeah. Yep. Charlie is my landlord. Charlie and I are in on this recording studio together, and we'll have to do a Cripes cast from there when it's ready to be presented,
Yeah. We probably should have done this one from there, but
yeah. Well, we'll do a follow-up maybe.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, it's a lot of fun because I like playing music quite a bit, and I just don't do it enough. But it's fun to get over there and do it. But since then, Bill, you've kind of sort of become you've had a long winding career to get to comedy. And one thing that I don't think we've ever brought up here is you are a child. You're a children's music songwriter, right?
Yes.
Sounded weird coming off.
I thought you were going to say I am a child, which is also true. But yeah, for about 12 years, a little more than that, I was.
Still are, right?
Yeah, I still do children's music. Not my own original, but like for about 12 years, I was in a children's music band. Stacy Peasley is the name of the artist, and I was in her band.
What's the name of the band?
The Stacy Peasley Band.
I could have guessed.
Yep. And I was the guitarist and backup vocals, and she and I would write a lot of the songs together. Usually she would write the lyrics and the basic, you know, sort of chord progression, and then I would get in there and sort of arrange the song and the instrumentation and record the instruments. And
you're like the Jerry Garcia, she's the Robert Hunter.
Yes. With less acid.
Okay. Got it.
Less acid. Still a little bit of acid, but not, you know, like kids, you know, like little, you know,
microdose.
Yeah. Like a little half a tab, like a baby tab.
Give us a taste. Not of the acid of the song.
Sure. I was going to say. yeah, so I think Stacy's biggest tune is probably Soapy Bubbles. Let me see if I can sing it in her pitch.
Soapy Bubbles.
Soapy bubbles in my tubby. Soapy bubbles in my bath.
I like this.
Soapy bubbles in my tubby. Soapy bubbles in my bath.
Look, I got a bubble mustache, Bill.
Everybody picture Charlie in the tub. Charlie, put your submarine away. When it's tubby time, I always feel so fine. Playing in the bubbles is a delight. Always feels so good. I don't remember these words. Na 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 na. Tomorrow night. Soapy bubble. Good, Charlie. My tub. Show me your bubbles, Charlie.
Look at the bubbles. I'm blowing them in your face. There you go. That's really cool. Yeah. That's a nice song.
I used to always have names for all the songs that were not appropriate.
Oh, really?
So that one is.
Wait. Let me guess. Soapy bubbles. It's not Soapy Buttholes. Is
Soapy
it?
Buttholes.
Bill.
Soapy buttholes in my pants. So you can see why my music, children's music career is never going to take off personally. But
well, you just, yeah, you brought up acid and soapy buttholes within minutes of talking about.
But if you have little kids, you and I don't, that we know of, but if you do, check out Stacy Peasley Band. I think you'll really enjoy. There's a ton of original music and it's great for kids and it's fun for adults too, because the music is good. We put effort into making the music itself actually really good as well. So,
well, that's great.
Yes.
Bill, one thing that I really enjoy working with you is you got a lot of great impressions. You do Bob De Niro. You do David Attenborough. You do the Beatles. You do the Beatles pretty good.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite impression to do and why?
That's a really good question, man. I don't know. You guys give me a lot of credit for impressions, and I don't feel as confident in them as you guys do.
But well, maybe that's where it starts, Bill.
People say I sound like Phil Collins when I sing.
Oh, yeah. Bill Collins.
Yes. Actually, I've been thinking about doing a tribute, Bill Collins.
You should. That would be great. Like Bill Collins. Like, let's take a Bill or a Phil Collins song and then you do it as Bill Collins. What's a Phil Collins song? I don't even know.
You'll be in my heart. Yes, you'll be in my heart.
You do sound like
from
Bill.
From this day on, now and forevermore.
That's really good.
Thank you.
What would Bill Collins sound like?
Dude, I need to fart. Yes, dude, I need to fart. People have also said Cat Stevens a little bit.
Oh, yeah. What's a Cat Stevens song? Like Cat in the Cradle or something?
I don't know the Cat Stevens one. But I also was thinking of a tribute Fat Stevens. And I do a Cat Stevens tribute.
What would that be like?
Be like Fat Stevens.
What would it be like?
Oh, I need the chords. Dude, I'm so dependent on the chord sheets.
I'll give you the chords. What song? Cat in the Cradle?
There it is. Yeah, but that chord, the song, Wild World, there's so many chord changes in that.
Wild World? I know
that. Ooh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile, girl. That's it.
That's it.
Ooh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile, girl. So a lot of people would say, oh, you sound like Cat Stevens.
So what would Fat Stevens do in that situation?
Ooh, baby, baby, let's get some pie, girl. Take my motorized wheelchair to the aisle, girl. Ooh, baby, baby, I love pie, girl. Let's go to the ice cream shop for a while.
Very PC. I like it. How about Bob De Niro doing Bob Dylan?
You know what's funny about the Bob De Niro impression is it's so dependent on the face that I don't think the sound, you know, like if you're watching this, no, that's good. You know, no, you. Now you got a gift, you know, this, I don't know if the voice is as good as the face, you know,
I think they're both pretty good. Can you even sing?
You blew it.
Can you even sing like that?
Sing like Bob De Niro?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's a Bob Dylan song I would know?
Mr. Tambourine Man or Blowing in the Wind.
What are those chords? Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
You got it.
I'm not deep. Is that it?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. No, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy. I got no place to go. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. You gonna play a song for me? I'm not sleepy. I got nowhere to go.
Is Mr. Tambourine Man about like his cocaine dealer or something?
You would know better than me.
I think it's about a drug dealer.
Here's about how far I can get into a Bob Dylan song.
Okay.
Hey! The skip button is jammed into my CD player.
He did Lay Lady Lay, though. He went kind of Kermit of the Frog.
That's the weirdest thing about Bob Dylan is he could sing and he chose not to.
Well, why do you think that was?
There's also, what's the one? The man in me will do nearly any task. As for compensation, there's a little he would ask. If you listen to him, he's singing and you're like, oh. Bob, you write good songs, sing in them. Well, but he goes, wait, I got a better. Check this voice out. Oh, you got it. Hey. Okay, guys, should I sing it like this? Okay. The man in me will do. Oh, that's really good, Bob. No, but check this out. They went with the second one. I can't do Bob Dylan. I appreciate the songwriting. He's a great songwriter, but he's one of those dudes that every song that someone else did of his,
yeah,
like the band would do Bob Dylan songs, and they're amazing and they're beautiful because they're like sung beautifully. With him, I don't know what it is. I can't get past the vocal.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, did you see the movie?
Not yet. I want to.
I saw it. I liked it. I thought it was really good.
It's not that I don't like Bob Dylan or it's like, I like the songs. There's some absolutely a respect and appreciation, but I can't do the voice.
Are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
If someone has a gathering, I'll watch it. But I have all like streaming services.
Yeah.
So yeah. I wouldn't pay to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't even know who's in it.
Are you kidding me, dude?
No. Who's in it?
You have no idea who's in it. Take a guess.
Kendrick Lamar. And I know the halftime show will be someone who's semi-popular now and then just a really weird, like, you know, one of the Backstreet Boys is going to be dancing too. Right? They always have like a guy who's like, that guy?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here's Lady Gaga and Vanilla Ice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know who's doing the halftime show, but I know that the Chiefs are playing, Bill.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are playing against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, Gale Birds.
Yeah, you used to live in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I used to live in on the main line outside of Philadelphia.
Why do they talk like that? It's almost like a East Coast surfer.
It's a weird accent in Philly. I can't really do it. No, I'm going to get in and get a Hagee. Yeah, can I get a glass of water to wash down his crown? Yeah, I just ate a crown. Can I get a glass of water?
What's a crown?
A crayon.
A crayon?
I remember being a little boy in elementary school, and they're like, okay, we're gonna draw with our crayons now. I'm like, what? We're going to draw with our crayons. You got water in your ears?
What's weirder, the Philly accent or the Midwest accent?
The Philly one, because it's like this amalgamation of like Southern, maybe, and New York.
How do they get that?
I don't know. It's really weird. And what's funny is a lot of people can't really hear it. A lot of people will hear a person from Philadelphia and it's like, I go, isn't that a weird accent? And they're like, I don't hear it.
Really?
Yeah. Like if you listen to someone from Philly, like, or that area, like Kevin Bacon, when he talks in interviews.
Yeah. I don't know that.
You know, Kramer, Jim Cramer from Mad Money, the finance guy.
Yeah.
He's got a thick one.
Really? Yeah. Kevin Bacon interview. Let me see.
He's from the Philly area.
Let's see. All right. Yeah, I found it. Hang on. Here's Kevin Bacon.
Philly definitely has a kind of like don't mess with me sort of vibe. And certainly, you know, growing up, there were times when really not out of any kind of courage, but really out of terror, I would have to put that face on if I was walking around in the hopes that I was going to, you know, stave off an attack.
Hey, if it works for you, if you have a face that can defend you, good for you. I don't have that. Do you ever slip into a Philly accent when you're talking to people?
Oh yeah. My friends will tell me what just happened. How come you're talking like that? All of a sudden, you're going like, what's going on with you? Yeah, I do. It's a weird accent because nobody really does it. You know, like people don't do you don't grow up hearing it in movies. You know, you hear Boston, you hear New York, you know, everyone grew up, with, you know, whatever, The Godfather and, you know, all the Scorsese stuff.
Yeah, you never hear the Philly accent, but it's a very real one. It's as unique as Boston, if not even a little more so. But it's just, I don't know, it's because it sounds a little Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, a little surferish sometimes, like, you know, going down to the main. Yeah, I'm going to go over to, we're going over to King of Prussia Mall. We're going to get some water, go out and get a hoagie. And then me and Jim are just going to go play like some basketball down at the gym.
Down at the gym. Oh, yeah. Down at the gym over there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like the Midwest accent?
I do like the Midwest accent. It's very, calming.
Oh yeah, this is really soothing for you, isn't it?
Yeah, people are just like this. The accent in it's funny how accents match the personalities. Like the Philly accent, it's a little gruff, a little bit impatient, and a little bit, you know. And the Boston accent is a little scary, and as are those people. You know, if you've been to Philly or Boston, especially a sports game, it's like, yikes.
Now, we've done comedy for a while, and you grew up doing music, but you also grew up doing comedy. And you recently found a bunch of tapes.
Oh, yes.
Of like our friends, doing some sketches. Have you gotten a chance to go through those tapes yet?
They're being digitized. They're probably done. But yeah, I found.
Where are they being digitized?
At the Natick Mall in Massachusetts.
OK. And can they send you a thing?
They're going to ship them to me.
When are they doing it?
It's I should probably check my email. They're probably done. They might be shipping them to my parents' house. I'll check.
Oh,
but I've got, you know, probably 20 tapes from like, you know, probably fifth grade through ninth grade.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. There's as much joy as there is security in New Orleans ahead of the Super Bowl tomorrow. But this fan, after that New Year's attack that killed 10 people, says he feels safe.
I think they're probably going to beef up security because of that incident, so I'm not too worried about it.
A federal judge slapped back Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency's access to sensitive Treasury personal records for millions. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
A lawsuit was brought by Letitia James of New York and 22 other attorney generals to try to put on pause what Musk has been trying to do.
Nearly 200 Palestinians held by Israel are released as three Israeli hostages are freed. CBS News contributor Robert Berger.
The men, ages 34, 52, and 56, looked thin and pale but were able to walk on their own power.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Super Bowl 59 coming up tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Eagles and the Chiefs spending time with family and friends before tomorrow night's Super Bowl here in New Orleans. Kickoff at 5:30. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce on what he likes to do the night before the game.
I really don't have too many crazy routines. I really just show up to the game ready to play some football and ready to go, you know, all out for the guys that I'm playing with.
NBA, the Bucks losing in Atlanta last night, 115-110. Doc Rivers upset with what he called a casual effort by his team in the third quarter.
It would have been a joke to basketball. We win the game tonight. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve to win. We're a better team than what we showed, and it's on me. I got to get them to see it. It's on me. I got to get them to see that you can't be casual in an NBA game and think you're going to win the game.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Additional accumulation of snow today, maybe another 4 or 5 inches. We'll see a high near 24 degrees. For tonight, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 1. For Sunday, sunshine with a high near 16. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 18.
Right now, it's 19.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me,
from civil rights to business,
food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit, express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah,
That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm Charlie Behrens. This is Civic Media, and here's my conversation with comedian and musician Bill Doucette.
I've got, you know, probably 20 tapes from like fifth grade through ninth grade we would make. And during that time, like some of the tapes are from my Philadelphia friends. We would make like war movies.
Yeah.
In Valley Forge Park. Which the park rangers love when you're running around a national park dressed as Nazis and having toy guns. By the way, we weren't all dressed as Nazis, okay, before this goes in a different direction. They were the bad guys, and some of us were dressed as Americans.
And okay? You have to clarify that these days, because there's a lot of people being like, were they that bad? No. Yeah, they were actually that bad.
My parents were not allowing us to do, like, a Third Reich cosplay thing. There was
they had morals with it.
There were bad guys and good guys.
Got it. That thanks for clarifying.
Was my mom concerned when I asked her to order 10 German army helmets for me? Maybe.
What's your favorite sketch you guys did?
When we got into like seventh and eighth grade, when I moved to Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and I met, you know, Mike Feldman, Austin Bauer, a lot of those mutual friends of ours. It was real weird. So this is why I have to go through these tapes and before anyone sees them.
Well, you just had some company digitize all them.
So. I know. And I asked if they watched them and they said, not really. And I said, don't. I said, if you can, don't.
Yeah.
I said, they're not like sex tapes or anything, but I don't know what's on them. And they also said, we can watch them and label them from what we think would be the best labels. I said, don't worry about that. Just plug them into the machine, turn them into digital.
What were you afraid they were going to see?
I mean, there's one sketch called, it's actually called Bad Santa. And it's years before the movie Bad Santa.
Wow, you guys were ahead of your time.
And all it is me in a Santa costume being verbally abusive to the children who come to see me. Physically abusive, you know, maybe. So they're tapes that are for my eyes only until I get them.
Got it. You should recut those into sketches and put those up.
We'll see what's on there. Because we were, our biggest inspirations at the time were probably like Jackass.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever else. So we were, you know, the big warning at the beginning of Jackass was like, do not attempt to do this at home, blah, 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 blah. And you remember when we were all in seventh grade, we watched one episode of Jackass.
Like, let's give it a go.
We're outside in a grocery cart rolling down a hill into the woods, like, right away.
Yeah.
But no, there's some good ones. A lot of war stuff. There's the balls we had as kids was impressive. So there's a whole episode where, and I believe this was for school. Now, I had sort of like taken my own approach. I don't think they said go out there and do this for school, but mm-hmm. I went out and I was dressed as a superhero and I had a sidekick with me who was my cameraman. And we were called STD Man and STD Boy. We were superheroes. We went to the Pick and Save in Brookfield, stood outside and interviewed adults about STDs.
Are you kidding me?
No. And so there's those, we have those tapes.
What would you do?
So we were studying STDs and we were supposed to do a project about it. Yeah. And I somehow was able to decide I was going to do this as my project. Now, I don't think my teachers knew what was coming. But yeah, I was dressed as STD Man and I was like in a superhero suit with like STD on my chest. And then STD Boy was in a Robin outfit, like Batman and Robin.
What was STD Boy?
But STD Boy just had STD over his Robin emblem.
Okay.
And people would come out and I was like, man, hello, my name is STD Man. This is my sidekick, STD Boy. We are studying STDs and we would like to ask you, have you or anyone you know ever had an STD? And then, you know, and what do you think the most dangerous STD is? And you'd have people just answering us. They just caught dead. They're like, I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah, STDs. What do you think? I haven't had any STDs, but, you know, they're dangerous. You got to be careful, you know. We'll get the tapes.
We got to post that.
We'll get the tape. We'll see if I can get them in time. You can put a picture of STD Man on screen.
That's great.
I don't
remember
what I got as a grade on the project. But
yeah, I can guess. You're a big war guy, though. And actually, a big history buff in general. And so I want to test your history knowledge. Is that okay?
Yeah. Can I do a Robert Kennedy here and switch out my...
switch out your Zen?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna do it as discreetly as he did. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what? Yes, I think we should bring the plague back. But we should shut down all the Kentucky Fried Chickens. Sorry. Don't get too political here.
You got to do your RFK impression.
No. You know what? You would like to do an impression of him.
Yeah.
And you want to, but because it's like a medical thing.
What does he have?
He has something.
Okay.
That causes him to talk like that.
Tim Dillon has a very good RFK.
Just try it.
Well, because it's a physical, you know, it's I had a worm in my beating my brain. And I took the worm out of my head and I raised it to be my assistant. And so most of my ideas are actually the ideas of the worm in my brain. I think we should bring back bloodletting as the primary source of healthcare. I think we should have let polio run its course.
Senator, you don't really think we should have let polio run its course? The Republicans is trying to clean up all this stuff. Senator, no, you really don't think we should bring polio back, do you?
I think that polio was a good thing and we misinterpreted.
Senator, what you're saying is that polio is a terrible disease. And that one, you definitely would agree. We don't want to get rid of that vaccine because, you know, Mitch McConnell actually had polio and he's...
With all due respect, I think that we had polio solved with the iron lung machine. We didn't need a cure.
Okay. No further questions.
Okay. I need to get home and feed my brain worm. He only likes pieces of my brain, so I have to cut one out. I'll answer more questions tomorrow.
That's good.
Thank you.
With the dangerous things he's doing, he kind of deserves it, but like...
Well, I don't even know what it is.
What he has? Yeah. He has something that causes him to talk like that. So you don't want to make fun of people for that, but at the same time, it's like, Jesus, man. Go away with the Kennedys already.
Spasmodic dysphonia.
Yeah,
dysphonia. Which causes involuntary spasms in the muscles of his vocal cords, resulting in a strained, raspy, and sometimes strangled sound when he speaks.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you do an impression of somebody that like has a disability, like you don't want to not make fun of them because then you're actually marginalizing them.
Exactly.
I think, but here's my opinion on the Kennedys, if you could for a second.
Yeah,
being a New Englander, having at one point been really obsessed with JFK as a kid for some reason, I had books on him. I built a model of PT-109. I was like really into JFK. And in New England and in Massachusetts in particular, the Kennedys are like royalty, like the name, you know, it holds a certain esteem.
Sure.
As it does nationally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time to be done with the Kennedys. It's long since time to be done with the Kennedys. There's no good ones left. They're all gone. And now you've got these wackos clinging onto the name. And for some reason, we're like, oh, Kennedy. It's like, they're all gone.
Well,
they're all gone. One of them, you know, his plane went down in the ocean. One of them, you know, skied into a tree. You know, like all the good ones find a way to delete themselves. You know what I mean?
I think you look at the history of it, though. And Joe Kennedy, he got his money. What, he was like, he was short in the stock market, wasn't he?
They were doing a crime family, essentially.
Yeah.
Bootlegging, all that stuff. And we just turn a blind eye to it. But like, yeah, the whole Kennedy fixation, I just don't get it.
Well, it's just, you know, people, it's like a celebrity obsession.
It is. It's the closest we've had to a royalty, I think, to people was like the Kennedys, because they were so young and good looking and interesting. You know, they were a fascinating couple, you know, JFK and Jackie.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every Kennedy, though, was tied up in some, you know, questionable political stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, Teddy Kennedy, good Lord.
But I don't know where they're really scraping the bottom of the Kennedy barrel here. All
right. Moving on from the Kennedys, your U.S.
I'm on a death list now.
U.S. history quiz. What was the first 4th of July celebration to use fireworks? Was it 1777, 1799, 1876, or 1800?
To use fireworks?
Yep.
1800?
Nope, 1777. Oh. How many signatures are on the Declaration of Independence? 50, 26, 56, or 13?
Oh my God.
These are tough ones.
These are tough. What were my options again?
It's 56. Don't worry about it.
So I think the 13 would be to mislead you to think 13 colonies.
Yeah.
Picturing the Declaration of Independence, there's a lot of signatures.
There is. Who's and got the biggest one?
John Hancock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also got that big tomb.
He was just like.
Yeah.
Huge.
Why do some people have really big signatures? What do you think that means?
I think you know.
Okay.
they have a lot of paper, so they don't have to worry about how big their handwriting is.
Who is the oldest person to sign the Declaration of Independence? Was it John Adams, Ben Franklin, John Hancock, or Josiah Bartlett?
The oldest person?
Oldest.
Ben Franklin?
Yep, you got it. How many times does the Liberty Bell get symbolically tapped every Independence Day? Is it 13, 1, 50, or 76? Has to do with the colonies.
13.
Yeah, 13. What type of bird did Benjamin Franklin want as the national symbol instead of the eagle?
The turkey.
The turkey. Yes, sir. Which New York City landmark stands at a symbolic 1,776 feet tall?
Statue of Liberty?
No, World Trade Center.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't even been there yet.
I knew that. I've been there. Which U.S. president was first to appear on television?
JFK.
Nope.
Nixon.
Nope.
Eisenhower.
Nope.
Truman.
No.
Wait.
He stood up.
Oh. FDR?
Yeah.
Can I just say the first presidential debate on television was JFK versus Nixon? And the reason that JFK won is because he looked better on TV.
He looked smoking hot.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I look really good on television. Nixon looks like a sweaty old bastard, and I looked awesome.
What would JFK say about RFK Jr.?
He is a good man. He's got a good heart, but he is a moron. And there's one in every family. That's not a good Kennedy at all.
Nah, it's not bad. Which of these people was the founder of the Standard Oil Company? Henry Ford, Carnegie, Rockefeller, or Vanderbilt?
It's either Carnegie, Vanderbilt, or Rockefeller. Oil, you said? I'm going to say Rockefeller.
You got it. Okay. Which was the first established colony in the U.S.? Plymouth, Roanoke, New Hampshire, Jamestown.
I want to say Roanoke.
Jamestown. Dude, you're failing your test here. How long did the Civil War last? 18 months, 5 years, 4 years, 8 years?
Five or eight. 8 years?
4 years.
You know, the Civil War was only 4 years.
I'm looking like
a real idiot. Bill loves history.
We're moving into the impressions portion of the show. If Bob De Niro was your fast food employee, I'll be in the drive-thru. Culver's. Hey, how's it going? I just want to get a double butter burger. Do you guys have the walleye in, actually?
What's the matter with you?
I just wanted the walleye.
You want a walleye?
Yeah.
How about a black guy? Get the f*** out of here. Welcome to Delicious.
If David Attenborough went to see a therapist.
So, David, how have you been recently?
The male wakes up in the morning and has a difficult time urinating.
Okay.
He stands at the toilet and pushes hard only to relieve small spurted streams of urination.
Now, David, I notice that when you're talking about yourself, you tend to talk in
third person, and you're not even talking about yourself. You identify yourself as the male, not even you personally. What's that about?
The male species is impervious to your line of questioning. The male needs to get up and urinate right now.
Well, if you must urinate, you can go do that, certainly. How is your sex life recently?
The male practices celibacy due to his unreliable genitalia.
How do you feel about potentially them revoking the Endangered Species Act?
I think that it is a terrible thing that they would remove the endangered species.
I sound more like RFK now.
No, you're getting it.
I'm not worried about endangered species. Most endangered species are actually delicious. The last dragon that ever lived is on my wall, and I killed it, and I left it on the doorstep of someone I knew because I thought it would be funny.
Morgan Freeman talking about the New Jersey drones.
They never did find out who the drones were. I can't really do Morgan Freeman. You guys like it, though. They never did find those drones.
Forrest Gump going to the strip club.
From that day on, if I was spending money, it was at the strip club. My mama says strip clubs are good. You go to a strip club, spend all your money. Got nothing to show for it.
Forrest, did you ever make it rain at the strip club?
Oh, only God can make it rain.
Joe Biden meeting Chapel Rowan.
Who? Joe Biden meeting who?
Chapel Rowan.
Come on. I don't even know who this is. Gotta go to a chapel. Go to a church. I'll meet this woman. Gotta get your back straight, Jack. I'm gonna meet up, go outside and meet a person. I'm gonna go to the chapel. Come on, man. I'm gonna walk off this stage, walk into a wall. What is Wall doing here? Get your facts right.
And hey, we're gonna do it. We're gonna meet Chapel Roan. It's gonna be good for the economy. And hey, listen.
Come on.
Listen.
Get your facts right. Listening to him is kind of startling because he goes like the,
Adam, hey, guess what? I could have beaten Trump, but they put Kamala in because they thought I was.
Oh, where am I? Got a microphone.
Boston Dad versus Midwest Dad talking about, and you can pick the price of eggs, traffic, or the Grammys.
Traffic, maybe?
You know, I tell you, I'm just... I'm going out there, okay, and these people, we got these people from Illinois, and they're driving like they got their head up their keister.
Yeah, right. No, we got a lot of people driving in Boston that are just driving like freaking, you can't say the word anymore, but, you know, it starts with I.
Oh, geez, Louise. Yeah, no, that's a no-go.
So you guys get traffic up there in Canada? You got enough people driving cars, you get traffic?
Yeah. We're actually not in Canada. We're in Wisconsin, and we're far. You have to cross.
Wait, Wisconsin's not part of Canada?
No, it's not, actually. We got to cross Lake Superior to even get into Canadian territory. Yeah.
Oh my God. I always thought Wisconsin was part of Canada.
No. Yeah. No Mounties here.
But you guys get traffic. Enough guys that.
Well, it's a lot of people from Illinois. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Illinois is also not part of Canada?
Yeah, no. Illinois, no, that's Chicago. I mean, that's, you know.
Oh, Chicago's not a state.
No.
So Illinois is the state that Chicago was in?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got to get a map, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Honest to God, like, if it's not part of New England, like, I don't know about it.
I'll send you a map, actually. Would you like to try my casserole, too? I'll put that in the mail if you'd like. I got one frozen here. I can put it on dry ice, send it over to you.
Yeah, you can send it. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm going to eat it, but, you know, go ahead and send it.
Yeah, I'll send it over. That's fine.
Yeah,
I'll try it. So are you a fan of the Patriots there? Because if you don't remember, you know, Packers beat the Patriots back in the 90s for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Right. The Packers beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl in 97?
Yeah.
98?
Yeah, 97.
And then how many have they won since then?
We've won one.
Okay, so All right. So just that one and then one. Yeah. And then the Patriots, I think over the following 24 years after that, probably won.
You could fill up over a hand,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But you guys had Tom Brady. I mean, we were, you know, we were dealing with Aaron Rodgers there for a while.
You were dealing with the Mushroom King.
Yeah.
But you know what? He seemed to have learned his lesson, and like his attitude has totally changed, and he's like wicked, you know, likable now and stuff.
Yeah, totally likable.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who he's playing for these days. He kind of screwed the pooch with the Jets, you know.
I think you're going to see Aaron Rodgers doing commentating real soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think's going to hire him to do that?
Probably Joe Rogan or maybe some of the spokesmen for ayahuasca. Yeah.
That's good.
Have you ever done ayahuasca?
No, I haven't done ayahuasca. No,
I haven't either. I want to tell you that much. Have you ever done ayahuasca?
Nope, Hannah hasn't done it either.
Sounds like the whole staff, we should all do it someday.
Yeah, I don't know that I really want to sponsor that. But you'll sponsor it?
Yeah. Through you.
You'll be in my heart.
Such a hard D on that. Do you know what bird this is?
That is a spotted cock.
No, it's actually a loon. We call it a duck in a tux.
A loon. We have those in New England.
Do you?
If you're on Lake Winnipesaukee, you'll hear some loons.
Can you do a loon impression? Your best loon impression?
No, I can't. But what is it about the loon that everybody's like, shut up? Like all other birds, nobody cares. But when the loon is like, quiet, it's a loon.
My cousin Tom can do an amazing loon.
Malloy?
Tommy Malloy can do like, I got to figure out if I can find this thing.
Because the loon is not a rare bird, is it?
It's getting more rare. It's actually endangered I don't think it's technically endangered. But you know what's messing with its habitat are those wake boats. Those things like that people surf behind.
Oh,
it messes with it erodes the shoreline, which is where they nest.
The loons.
The loon. Yeah. Mm. I can't find this video. Bummer.
I made that sculpture, actually. Oh,
you made this?
Actually, yeah. Oh, wow. I meant to do that. I meant to do a shout out. Hannah Milos, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for your own custom macheted loon, reach out to Hannah Milos. Hannah, shout out your Instagram.
That is really good.
My Instagram is milos.png.
Milos.png. Really?
Milos.png. Mm-hmm. I've been saying Milos, so I'm glad we...
You and everyone else.
And you don't have an H, or you do?
No second H in my first name.
H-A-N-N-A, Milos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're really? It's how long have you guys been working together?
Well, Milos. I think I've been saying Milos.
Okay. Well, it's Milos.
Yeah. Everyone says Milos. I respond to it.
Milos.
I'm not fazed by it.
Ethnic city.
I don't really know. Like,
really? Interesting.
I know there's some Croatian in my family.
Yeah, that sounds like
there might be a little bit of Greek. I'm not sure. But then like my mom's side of the family is very like German.
Okay, that makes sense. In Wisconsin. I feel like everybody who doesn't know what they are, they know they've got a little German in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of German in Wisconsin, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Bill, any questions for me?
Oh, questions for you. How many times a week would you say you lose your phone, wallet, keys, or water bottle?
I don't know where my water bottle is currently.
One of them is always in my car. when I dropped you at O'Hare the other day,
yeah,
I'm driving away and I can hear this thing like rolling and smashing into the wall. And I'm like, what the f- is that? I look back and it's your water bottle.
That's all the time we have for now. But if you want to listen to my full Cripes Cast, check out the Cripes Cast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees, and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Yamato, the drummers of Japan return to the Grand Theater in Wausau with their Power of Human Strength tour. Experience the explosive energy of these talented musicians when they take the stage on Friday, March 7th. With more than 40 different taiko drums, Yamato engulfs the audience in energetic sound. Yamato, tickets at grandtheater.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The Trump administration has suffered a series of legal setbacks, including overnight as a federal judge paused his plan to put thousands of USAID workers on leave. A different judge blocked Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency from accessing sensitive Treasury records, including Social Security numbers. But CBS News has learned DOGE just gained access to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
Even some Trump judges find the moves being made against USAID and other agencies as well to be hasty, poorly thought out, and unfairly damaging to the workers.
In New Orleans, a mix of excitement and security amid Super Bowl festivities and concern after that New Year's terror attack there. The CEO of Greater New Orleans, Michael Hecht.